Пуст, а не подойдут ко мне. Do you understand what I just said? Unless you speak Russian, you would never be able to understand the words, let the little children come to me. Jesus wants to speak to all children in every land, and your church's Sunday school can help. For just $5 per book, your students can adopt an LHF mission project that will provide Bible storybooks to waiting children in other lands. Learn more at lhfmissions.org/children.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's time to go back to school with me. This feels seasonally appropriate. It's everyone's sure back does. In school now. And I never really had a summer vacation, so I'm not back in school. I'm still in school.
Yeah.
You don't get summer vacation in grad school.
No. It's one of the great tragedies of adulthood is the end of the summer vacation.
Yeah. Well, anyway, school.
Okay. So, but yeah, school though is always great. So we don't need to be excited about vacation when we can be excited about school.
And I love you may not fun. You may not have a summer vacation, but at the same time, you do have a program you're super enjoying and super excited about. And I don't think a whole lot of middle schoolers could say the same.
That is
probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm actually hitting the phase of my master's program where I'm a little sad it's going to be over soon. I'm like, oh, all of these things that I get to stress about, I won't have to stress about them anymore. And I'm a little sad because it'll be done. Mm-hmm. It's because I have graduation on my calendar for May 2025. So it's coming up very soon. I am currently in Leading Change and Motivation. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more class this fall on Servant Leadership, which is going to be very fun. And then next spring, I have my neuroscience and leadership class, which I've been waiting for this whole time. Amazing, I hope, because it sounds awesome. It does. And then my capstone, which I have no idea what I'm doing yet. And then I graduate. So like, I'm nearing the end of this, which is just wild. It feels like I just started. And of course, I'm doing my master's in organizational leadership at Concordia University, Irvine's Townsend Institute. It is just, it's been the best. So if you want to talk with me about it, feel free to message me. I love talking about it. So in these episodes, I've been sharing all the little tidbits of wisdom that I've been getting in the last few. It's just been like, hey, I read a cool book. And so now I'm going to tell you about it, like little mini grad school book reports. But it's because these are all very useful life skills. Mm. If you're in an organization, if you're in a position of leadership, or if you're a mom in the home, or if you're none of the above and like an 18-year-old trying to figure out what to do with your life, like a lot of this stuff is applicable regardless of whatever station of life you're in right now.
Right. Yeah. It's like you assume that this is useful in business, but it's also useful in the church. It's useful in the family. If you're captain of the cross country team, it's probably useful for you there too.
Yep.
You know, there's so many areas of our life in which we are called to practice organizational leadership. Mm-hmm. So this is so relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why the program's been so great, because it's professional development, but like so much of it has been personal development too, which has been awesome. Mm-hmm. So the last time we talked about decision making, which was, was a really fun episode. And I believe somewhere in that episode, I promised that the next one would be about goals, because I was currently reading a book about goals and I hadn't finished that class yet. So I couldn't do it then. But that class finished over the summer. And so this episode today is about goals, which for a long time kind of made me cringe, because I don't know. There's just something about goals. It's that tenacity part. Like throwback to Working Genius. I love thinking about the things I could do. I really don't enjoy like writing them down and then having to do them. That part is not as fun.
Oh, I love writing them down and planning them. And then I love getting a fresh sheet of paper and writing down a new set and planning them.
It's so fun to think about all the possibilities, and it's less fun to actually implement them. And so this class, I was like, okay, because this was in my strategy and execution class. And this class ended up being so incredibly helpful with just how to think through strategy and execution, which includes goals, in a way that makes a lot more sense to me. And it reframes how I think about goals. So I want to shout out SMART goals first. We were not talking about SMART goals today. Mm. I feel like that's a really common way to think about goals. Mm-hmm. That's how we set our goals here at the International Center. I'm actually going through that. We're all going through that process right now. It's goal setting time here. So like this feels really familiar, but this is not SMART goals. So, you know, SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. They're great. They work. All those guidelines are really helpful. I struggle with them a little bit. I tend to get lost in the weeds with them. We also tend to set a lot of goals all at once, and it's hard for us human beings to like focus on a bunch of different goals at a time. Now, when you're in an organization, you have different like categories of goals and things that you're working on throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But this, what I'm going to be talking about is much more specific to like, there is one thing that you want to get done and it needs to get done. And this is how we can actually make it work. So hopefully this will alleviate some guilt about like, there's a thing that I've been trying to do for the last 5 years and I just like can't seem to get it done. Maybe this will help you do that. So this is the four disciplines of execution, 4DX, that was basically the foundation of most of my class. There's
this is an extreme sport.
It, okay. It felt like it.
4DX.
Okay, I'm just going to like get to the elephant in the room right away because I'm in a place in my life right now. Like I'm as you're talking here, I'm cycling through the various goals I have for myself. And some of them are like, you know, long-term goals, but some of them are more short-term and some of them are very specific. Mm. And the reason I say this is the elephant in the room, and I want to get this out in the air before you go through with it, because I feel like some of our listeners might be more invested. My particular problem right now is I've been plagued with injury after injury this year. And as a result, I am at a point where I'm feeling very overweight and out of shape.
Mm.
Will these strategies help me achieve my goal of rehabbing my knee from the latest injury and revamping my personal health and fitness? Like, I know you're probably going to talk about how organizations and businesses and whatnot can set and achieve goals, but this is really relevant for me right now. And can you help me?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
And actually, really even talking about organizations.
Sweet. Okay.
This is like very obviously appropriate for organizations. It is very business focused, but like, y'all want to hear about how you can do this if you like have a goal in your house that you want to do. Yeah. So there is one of the most common examples of how to do this is actually a weight loss one. And that's the one I chose not to do because everyone does it. But I can include that one, too, because I have.
OK, all right. Just humor me because of where I am right now. I'm not usually in this place. I don't normally worry about this kind of thing. I just live my life and what happens happens. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I've just been sitting on a couch with my leg up for, you know, a month at this point, I need to actually be proactive about getting back out there. And so I need to set some goals and achieve some goals.
Yes.
And I'm hopeful that your wonderful wisdom will help me with that.
I believe it will.
All right.
Yay. So I love this method because there's a lot of accountability built into it, and not like boring accountability, but accountability that's supposed to be fun and creative and engaging. And that's the part that I feel like is kind of missing in the SMART goals. It's very internal. It's something that's very personal to you, and you're kind of accountable to yourself to do it. And the 4DX model is very collaborative, which works really well in teams. And if it's a personal goal, you have to get a little bit more creative for that accountability part. But like, there is a way to do that. You have a husband, you have children, you have friends. Like there's people that can be your accountability people and can work with you on this. But we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay. Yeah. Families are great. And especially if you have a husband who has his own fitness goals because he's in the military.
May or may not be helpful if it's a guilt factor. Yes. Yes.
But still works.
Yes. We will get to the accountability part. That's one of the four disciplines of execution. So we'll get there. So we all have this gut feeling, right, that we have when we have all of these things happening in our lives I don't know how many times like we ask each other how we're doing and we're all like, I'm so busy, because we all just have all of this stuff happening. And so that makes it really hard to change or to achieve a goal, to do something different, because there's just like no capacity, no margin for like doing one more thing or actually feeling like you have the capacity to accomplish a goal. And so the 4DX concepts will hopefully break through that. And so, like I said, this is the 4 disciplines of execution. I have a book with me in the studio today. It is my other book that has coffee all over it, which means, you know, I like lived with this book for a while. I don't even remember. Oh, I think this one was in my bag going back and forth to work and my coffee somehow spilled all over it. This is by Chris McChesney, Sean Covey, and Jim Huling. And it was really, actually really fun. One of my classmates actually knows Chris McChesney. I don't remember how. And so in our first virtual class, he showed up on Zoom and just like taught us his book in our first class. So that was really fun to just learn from him of his own material. Mm-hmm. So the fun things you get to do in grad school. And there, if you're really into this and you're like, I want to get 4DX certified, there's a certification for this too, which makes it sound even more like an extreme sport. I had to do a class, so I am now officially 4DX certified to do the 4 disciplines of execution. So if you're really into goal setting and you want to do this for your organization, there is a way to do that too. Or not. You don't have to, but it was kind of fun. There's a test. It's legit.
Nice.
All right. So first, we got to define some terms, because there's a lot of terms that happen with the 4 disciplines of execution. We have a whirlwind. This is such a helpful term. I've used it in work situations and in home situations. It labels the thing that we all feel, the like overwhelm of all the things that happen all the time that constantly feel like the stuff that we just have to keep doing to keep our organization afloat or to keep our personal life afloat. It's all of the stuff. And it feels like a whirlwind. So like, I love this concept, this idea, putting this name on the daily activities that keep us busy. They're important. They're daily deadlines. They're the urgent tasks that act on us. And that's an important distinction. So like,
even if you are a stay-at-home, you got a whirlwind happening.
Yes. Maybe even more so.
I don't have a career right now, but I absolutely have a whirlwind going on every day, all day, every day.
You have to pick the kids up. You have to take them to co-op. You have to cook dinner. You have to keep the house clean. You have to do like all of this.
Teach implied ratios and thesis statements.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So like everybody ends up with this whirlwind in our culture because it's just all of these things that act on us. And they're the activities that sustain either you and your household, you and your organization, the stuff that like you can't actually stop doing, because then things would fall apart. And that's like, that is the whole idea behind it. So how do you like break through that to actually finish something? That's what we're going to get to. So the WIG, I love this term, is a wildly important goal. WIG.
Oh, I love that too.
Okay. So this is the way that you break through your whirlwind. It is a single, clearly defined goal that impacts your course, whether in the home, in an organization, in a different board, whatever. It is not part of your whirlwind activities. So it is something outside of the stuff that you have to do every day. And it's an important task that you act on. So it's not something that's acting on you. It's something that you have to tackle and act on it.
Okay.
All right.
And I love that it's a wildly important goal. Because I feel like a mildly important goal would never cut through the whirlwind.
Correct.
Wild, it has to be wildly important, not just moderately important.
This is like, it is the one thing that if you changed this one thing, it would affect basically everything else in your life. Because there's probably lots of stuff that like you could change and it would affect something in a very positive way. But this is like the one thing that takes the cake of like, I will change this one thing and it will change the trajectory of everything else in my life. Okay. In some fashion. Or maybe it's just the most important thing that you want to like clear out and be able to like move past. So you've got your whirlwind, you've got your WIG. And then there's the two measurements, because of course you got to measure a goal. Otherwise, it's not going to happen if you're not measuring it, right? Like that's kind of mostly with the point of Nicole. So we have our lag measures and our lead measures. Mm-hmm. And these can get a little confusing, but a lag measure shows you where you are currently in time. It's a measure of something that has already happened. So mm-hmm. if we're taking the weight loss scenario of like, I want to lose so much weight, your lag measure is the number on the scale. Mm-hmm. That's the number that has already happened. It mm-hmm. is true right now. So your lead measure is influenceable, predictable. It's the thing that you can do that you're measuring your actions that are going to affect and move that lag measure. So your lead measures in weight loss would be counting your calories, logging your exercise, mm-hmm. joining a gym, stuff like that. Something that is influenceable and predictable. So you know you can influence it. It's something that you have control over. I have control over what I eat. I have control mm-hmm. over how much exercise I do. Mm-hmm. I have control over how much I sit on a couch.
Right.
And it's predictable. If you do those things, your lag measure will change. If I eat less and move more, that number on the scale, in theory, should change.
So it's... Apologies out there to any fellow 40-something women who may find that your lag measure and your lead measure are less predictable than you would like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, this isn't a perfect science because there are other... Especially in the weight loss scenario. Recall,
like, the lead measure is actually that's the hardest one. Like, identifying the correct yes. lead measure, that is the hardest part of the whole thing, really. Yes. Like figuring out what is the actual thing. Like in some cases, especially, it's like, well, what will actually make a difference here?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And it's really easy to think that a lead measure is actually, sometimes lead measures are actually other mm-hmm. lag measures. Mm-hmm. 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 If you and yeah, you're right. It does kind of depend on the situation. Some of this can get complicated. There are some very cut and dry situations.
Well, this, you know what? This might require Aaron's favorite thing, maximum science.
Mm-hmm. Hey!
Keep tracking your lag measure. You try out a lead measure strategy. And if the lag measure moves, your lead measure mm-hmm. is predictably thereafter.
Yeah.
Reliable, but you may have to do trial and error a few times to figure out how few calories do you actually have mm-hmm. to eat to move that scale.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, there is some trial and error in this, and that's part of what goes into the goal setting. The visual that they have for this is helpful is a boulder and a lever. And your boulder is the lag measure and your lever is your lead measure. So that's the lever is you're going to be able to move the boulder with the lever. If that makes sense.
You may have to adjust your fulcrum a few times.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I can do this. I know middle school science really well.
Yes. And then, so the last part of this is the scoreboard. So this is the part that gets fun and creative. Mm-hmm. So the scoreboard is how you know you're winning. So you actually, because you want this to be a winning game. The whole point of this is to set this up so that you can succeed. Like, you don't want to set yourself up for failure. That's not right. Mm-hmm. That is not what this is for.
Failure is zero fun.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is very specific so that you can set up a way for you to actually succeed at what you're trying to do, because no one wants to lose. So you want to set up a scoreboard that is fun, that is creative. If you're in a team, it's interactive. Everyone can see it. It shows your WIG. So it shows your goal, your lead, your lag measures, all of those things. We'll come back to that because that is also specifically one of the four disciplines. Okay. So Sarah, what are the four disciplines? This is called four disciplines of execution. What are they?
Yeah. I promised four DXs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So discipline one, focus on the wildly important. Discipline two, act on the lead measures. Discipline three, keep a compelling scoreboard. Mm. And discipline four, create a cadence of accountability, which I love that one because then it makes it a habit.
I like it because it's got a wonderful,
it has a good sound in your mouth.
It feels good to say it. Alliteration. That's alliterative device it uses. It creates a cadence of accountability.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. You want this to actually be, I mean, I don't know if you would go as far to say fun, but like something that isn't horrible. Mm-hmm. You want to have the motivation.
If you dread this part of it, you're not going to do it.
Right.
And
right.
Or you're not going to get the benefit of the accountability.
Right. Yes. And pulling in a little bit of the motivation that I'm learning right now that hopefully will be the next episode. I don't know when that will be, but I'm learning
you
a lot.
You heard it here first, ladies.
I'm learning a lot in my motivation leading change class right now, and it's excellent. So that is my plan for the next one. But I'm not done. I'm 3 weeks into that class, so I can't do it yet. But learning what I'm learning in that class, You gotta tap into your emotional connection that you're making to this, because logic and facts are, you can think about it all you want, but you gotta tap into that emotional part of it.
If it's a chore, you won't do it. If it's a game, you will.
Exactly.
Mm. All right.
Yes. So your scoreboard, I'm getting ahead of myself, but your
Mary
scoreboard
Poppins.
Should be fun.
Okay.
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
She knew what she was talking about.
4DX certified right there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
She was ahead of her time.
Oh, yeah, she was. Okay.
Yes. And like a lot of this isn't rocket science. Like I think that's come up before in a lot of our conversations. Like a lot of this leadership stuff, motivation, none of it's really like, wow, how did nobody ever think about that before? But it's like, it's putting it into a structure and an organization that makes sense and is super helpful for just kind of reframing how we think about stuff. So discipline one, focus on the wildly important. So this is, like I said, if you made one change in your behavior, your habits, your schedules, that would entirely change the course of your life. I mean, it may not be that dramatic, but it might be. I was going to use the weight loss scenario. I actually had that one written down. I was like, nah, everyone does that.
Yes, everyone does that, Sarah.
I can parallel these because that one is one that's super common. And I've talked through it a couple times already, but I chose a different one that hopefully makes sense. I haven't actually worked through this one yet. So let's use paying down student loans because that one, like if you have $20,000 of student loan debt and you paid it off, that would be a significant,
that would
significantly change the trajectory of your finances, right?
We have done that. And I can tell you, it is indeed a wildly important goal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to use paying down student loans. So this is wildly important. So there's a formula for how this goal is written. And the formula is important. You're going from X to Y by a date. It is super specific. So I am going from $20,000 of student loan debt to $0 of student loan debt by December 31st. I put in here in 18 months. So 18 months from now, whatever that date is, I will have $0 of student loan debt.
Wow.
That is definitely ambitious.
You should probably run those numbers to see if it's actually physically possible to earn and or not spend all that money on like
rules, Rachel. They don't need to be attainable or realistic.
My game show is going to be completely messed up if I realize 6 months in that it is mathematically impossible to win because I like winning.
So, I mean, that is the caveat to this. Mm. This is a goal I just made up out of thin air. This is assuming that I know that financially I can do this. I just haven't done it because
if you just cut out your weekly your daily lattes, you can make this happen.
Yes. Wow. So, like, there is some homework to make sure that what you're setting up is actually achievable because you do want this to work. It may be something that, like, because in the whirlwind part, right, we're just like maybe paying the minimum payment. It's just something that's kind of happening. Mm-hmm. It's acting on us because I get the bill and it automatically comes out of my bank account, right? So it is currently acting on me and I want to act on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm changing it from something that's like just kind of happening to something that I am acting on and I'm going to make it happen. So that will require some change, which is why it's hard, but it's also going to be something really, really significant. And I will have to do a little bit of homework to make sure. Maybe it's not 18 months. Maybe it's 24 months.
Yeah.
You know.
And the same goes for the weight loss thing. I know people who have said, you know, I have this much weight to lose. I'm going to try to lose 10 pounds a week until I get it off.
Which is super unhealthy. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Please don't do that. Like, look at responsible weight loss. Do the math on your and set a date that is achievable with stretch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have to do the work to get it done, but that's okay because you can do the work to get it done. So like there is some hints of SMART goals coming into this, which is fine.
I mean, at the beginning when you're setting things, do that.
Yeah. Yes. It all lives in the same universe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that formula gives you exact boundaries. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly where you're going, which is really, really important. And you have a deadline. Deadlines are beautiful things. We've started to implement this in our KFUO team of just like, even if something is just like, I don't know when it should happen, like it doesn't really matter. We set a deadline because then you have a boundary, and boundaries are wonderful for actually getting things done, especially when you work on a team of wanderers where we just love to think about things all day. We need deadlines because then we have boundaries. Boundaries are great. They're not bad. They're lovely. And I love them. So this sounds like we're doing a lot, right? And we're adding one more thing to the already crazy whirlwind. And the point of this is not to make you so overwhelmed, like, oh no, I have one more thing to do. You will have to carve out some space, but we'll get to one of the later disciplines. This should not take, like, daily time that this is going to take should not be overwhelming. It is a little bit of time, unless it's like a 3-hour workout that you're doing every day. That might take a little bit of time. Right. But it should not, like, actually focusing on this goal should not take a ton of your time. They say 80% whirlwind, 20% wig time that you're probably going to end up doing. So it's not taking over a ton of your time, but you do have to intentionally set aside time that this is important and I'm going to do it. And that's where the cadence of accountability comes
in. And that's why the deadline, you know, you said you love the boundary of deadlines. That's why it's a hopeful thing.
Right.
Because if you're already drowning in the whirlwind, and you're going to take on an extra, like, you know, 20%, that's bad math, but, you know, bear with me, an extra chunk on top of that drowning in the whirlwind to make a wildly important change in your life, then it's really helpful to know, okay, if I do this the way I plan to do this, it is of limited duration.
Yeah.
By December 31st, this will all be over.
Yeah.
And the deadline gives you that hope. This is miserable. I haven't had my daily latte in a month and I'm dying here, but I know that if I can make it through 18 months, it'll be worth it.
Yeah. And it's amazing what you can do when you're like, you know what? This is temporary. I'm going to get creative with other things in my life to make this something that works. Sure. And I mean, there's even a way to break it down. If like 18 months is just like, that's too far away of a goal. Break it in half, break it in thirds, like make it a goal that is reasonable for you. If you're like, I need a 6-month goal, fine, do that. And then in 6 months, when you reach that goal, make another one. Like there's a way to do this. You can hack this a little bit to make it something that you're actually going to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really clever. So like maybe you know in your head that your total weight loss goal is like 40 pounds, to use a hypothetical example. And 40 pounds, even spread out over a responsible amount of time, just seems unachievable. So maybe break it down and say, I'm going to try to lose 10 pounds in 6 weeks, you know, and once you get that milestone, then set another goal and like give yourself stepping stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that. That's more achievable.
And especially with, I mean, weight loss in particular, not to go down the rabbit trail too much, but I have a background in exercise science.
I know. That's one reason I'm so glad to talk about this with you.
Your weight loss is going to fluctuate too, especially like if you've never done this before and you start that goal in 6 weeks, maybe very different once you get into your routine and kind of figure it out. You may have a different goal in 6 weeks just because of how you're adapting to what you're doing. So like in a student loan situation, maybe you get 2 months in and you're like, I can actually put more money toward this than I thought I could. And your goal might shift. So like, There's ways that you can, especially for personal, it's easier to do for personal goals.
So, right.
You can shift that. Yeah.
I have a theory.
Oh.
I have a theory that a goal of weight loss is actually, that's a lag. That's not a goal. That's a lag measure. Right? That's not your goal isn't that. Your goal is something else. The way you're going to accomplish that goal is like the thing that you're going to do that's going to make a difference, but it's not the actual weight loss, right? That's not a wildly important thing. It's the functional thing that you want to be able to
health and vitality
do. That's you're like, okay, how can I get there? It's going to be the weight loss, or it's going to be, I'm going to be able to run a mile in this amount of time or whatever. But like the actual, I have a feeling that that's also like sometimes we get focused in not on what is actually a wild, a wildly important goal is probably not going to be as simple as a number. Even like student loan, it's not I'm going to pay off $20,000. It's that I'm going to have financial freedom or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So like weight loss, you're right. Like there are, as I found out a few years ago, there are more than one way to lose weight. And some of those are very miserable and very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you've been through that cycle as well.
Yeah.
Where like just moving the scale on the number is not necessarily your goal. You could be very sick and have that number go down.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Erin, that the number is helping you track and measure an increase in health and vitality that I think comes with an overall change in eating healthier, mm-hmm. moving more. Mm-hmm. And that's why we care about that number. Because the number, it's just the number.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it can be, you probably could, but I think it would probably end up being, it would have longer, it would be of greater motivation if it wasn't as simplistic as, oh, I want a different number on a scale.
Something else is motivating you for that goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, once you feel better and stronger and healthier and more alive.
Yeah.
I want my blood pressure to be lower.
I want to be able to qualify for something or whatever. Like those are.
I want to be off my blood pressure medication. Yeah. And the way to do that is to lose weight. Like something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And then, I mean, yes. Either way, the number on the scale is the lag measure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Correction accepted. No. Well done, critical thinker Erin.
Erin has also probably read this book. So
I did. I have read the book. It's been a long time, though. And I, as we sometimes do, I liked the idea of it. I did not follow through and implement it. So I'm really glad we're circling back to it. Because this is going to be a useful thing to have a refresher on.
Yes. Full disclosure, I have wigs that I have set up for KFUO. Mm. And because I'm still in grad school and had a new hire and all kinds of things, uh-huh. I have not actually implemented the wigs that I made up yet. Uh-huh. So. Uh-huh. But I do have a plan to do that. Yeah. I have a fun little scoreboard that I'm going to get to in a minute. Ooh. So, yes. Okay, so discipline two. I thought this was going to be a short episode. Mm. It's already been a half hour, guys. Mm. Discipline two. Act on the lead measures. So this is where your lead and your lag measures come in. The numbers. Mm-hmm. The lag measures would already pass, show you where you've been. Lead measures are what you act on. So influenceable, predictable. In this example, your lag measure is the amount of student loans that you, I guess you could do it either way, what you've paid down or probably what you have left. What you have left is I would put as the lag measure because that is currently where you are sitting and that's the number that you want to get lower. Your lead measures, like you said, lead measures are tricky. They can be really tricky. And you might only have one. Like in this instance, there may be just one, depending on my situation and how I'm living my life and how I'm planning on paying this down, there may only be one lead measure. But we're focusing on influencing those lead measures because we know if we act on those lead measures, the lag number will follow. And that's why it's called a lag measure. Mm-hmm. The lead measures are what you do. The lag measure kind of follows behind. So in this instance, my lead measures could be paying $1,000 each month toward the loan for 18 months. I don't buy a coffee, but maybe phrase that in a more positive way. Maybe I choose to buy a different kind of coffee and I can track that I'm buying that coffee instead of something else. Or each month I put a certain amount into a savings account that I later can draw off of. Those kinds of lead measures.
I will reconcile my purchases daily.
Yes. Mm, that's a great one.
That would be a lead measure.
Yes, it would. Yep.
Yes, it would give you greater awareness of where you're spending.
Yep. Yeah.
So a lead measure for me right now might be, again, it needs to be something that is concrete and achievable, right?
Yeah.
And so would be spending half an hour a day walking and doing stretching, strengthening, and range of motion to recover from this injury so I can do some proper exercise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like
achievable.
Walking 10,000 steps a day. That's a really common something that would be a lead measure for a more physical activity kind of thing. Cause there's science behind how many steps a day you can walk for certain health things. So yes, yes.
That five would be... servings of vegetables.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, these sound like no fun. So how can you motivate yourself to do it?
Yes.
It's all stuff I have to do, Sarah. Uh-huh. So this is where the fun happens, especially if you're a creative person.
This is where I got hung up the last time. Oh. Like I started and I was like, I had a really hard time trying to figure out what a lead measure would actually be.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then...
Yeah.
It can be tricky.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
And then, yes. So I don't think I ever got to the point of actually creating the scorecard. So tell me how the scoreboard works.
Okay. So discipline three, make a compelling scoreboard. This is when you know you're winning. So you want to set this up, especially if it's a personal goal. Work stuff, you may have to like you'll have to work with your team to make it something that is collaborative, that you're going to put in a place that's really visible, that will help motivate your team. If it's a personal goal, you can do whatever you want, but it is something you want. You want this to track your goal, your lead measures, and somehow show how close you're getting to your goal. So that might be like a line chart and you move a little thing across to your goal. You can have like stickers. You can have like a coloring chart.
You could have a giant jar full of 20,000 beans.
Yes!
And every time you make your loan payment, you take out that many beans.
I love it.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like that would be exciting.
Yeah.
What if you don't like arts and crafts? Can you make a compelling scoreboard if you don't like arts and crafts?
Yes. What do you like? You make it whatever you want it to be.
I don't know.
Would you like it much right now? Beans, though? You would. You would.
I do like beans.
Beans.
Yeah.
I love tactile things.
There you go. So make it a tactile thing.
That might be fun.
Know. Little fuzzy pom poms.
I guess what I'm asking is there an app for that? Or is that
there
not
is
fun enough?
An app for that. There really? Is literally a 4DX wig.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have not used it, so I can't tell you if it's great or not, but there is literally an app you can download to use.
And depending on what your goal is, you know, paying off debt, saving money, losing weight, becoming healthier, et cetera. There are many other apps that are goal-specific apps, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, you can track it on your phone. You could make it some sort of fun little thing on your phone that you track it. It's something that should be very visible, though. Like you want it in front of you every day. So if it's an app, make sure it's like on your home screen so you can see it. Put it up on a wall, especially if it's in your workplace, make it so it's like in your cubicle area. So somewhere that people can see it. And so you can mark on it every day or every week or however often you're committing to updating what that goal is. So you want this to be something that is interactive, that's going to keep you emotionally engaged. And maybe if arts and crafts isn't your thing, but you know what you're aiming for, especially if it's like if it's a weight loss goal, whatever that thing at the end is that you're going to be able to do. If it's a money, like this money goal, maybe when I pay off my loans, I'm rewarding myself with a trip somewhere that I really want to go to because I'm going to have the money to do it. So like putting a picture of where you're going to go as the end point, as your goal or something, something that's going to emotionally motivate you for why you're doing what you're doing. It can be really helpful, especially if it's a longer term goal. Yeah. So for KFUO, one of the wigs that I had was increasing our number of podcast downloads, because that's something that I own. I can have control over some of the ways that we influence that. And our scoreboard had a little hot dog and a little radio tower because we watch. I found an Instagram reel of these do not do this at home, please. But there were these radio engineers and they were roasting hot dogs on an AM tower because you can do that because AM towers, do not touch an AM tower. You will electrocute yourself and probably die. Do not do this at home. But these guys knew what they were doing and they had hot dogs on these long sticks and
they did not know what they were doing. They were just being idiots.
They're radio engineers. If they didn't know what they were doing, they wouldn't have survived.
That's not true.
They grounded it. It was fine for them. But the cool thing was, this is totally in the weeds, sorry. But the cool thing was when they touched the hot dog to the radio tower, you could hear the radio station through the hot dog because that's how AM works. But anyway, the point is that became an inside joke for us.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
We're going to roast our hot dogs in the AM tower because it's a joke now.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
So we were the radio tower and the goal was this little hot dog guy on the scoreboard. Uh-huh. And so this whole thing is that we need to beat the hot dog.
Okay.
So it made it fun. It made it engaging. Uh-huh. It was something that we could all joke about and laugh about. But also, like, this is a serious goal, because if we increase uh-huh. podcast downloads, it's like a huge thing for us. So this is a way you can kind of tap into something that's fun. It doesn't have, like, it was literally just this line chart that we were just going to mark off each month how many downloads we have. Like, not anything crazy, mm-hmm. but the concept was funny.
We all need to get to the top of that tower and save that guy from his own bad life choices before his wife becomes a widow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Our executive director knows the engineers that were doing this.
Okay.
It's really funny. So that's the whole
point.
I'm
sure it's fine for them, as you said.
Yeah.
They're still alive, so we're good.
Okay. No widows today.
Do not touch AM radio towers. Anyway. All right. So now we actually have to execute on this. And this is where, like, this is where the real discipline, this is where the work happens. So we've set all of this up. We've made all of these plans, and now, like, you actually have to do the work, which is
not the fun part.
Right. But this is where accountability comes in, and accountability is really, really, really helpful to just keep you on track. So discipline 4, create a cadence of accountability. Mm. So the way that they prescribe doing this is having weekly 20-minute meetings max, like short meetings, where everyone in a team goes around and says what they agreed to do the week before, how they did on that, if they accomplished it, and the one thing they're going to do this week to move the needle forward. And then we review the scoreboard, see where we are, and then you move on. So the accountability part is a weekly check-in to see what you agreed to do, if you did it. If you didn't, you're going to do that part plus whatever you're doing this week. So you definitely want to be doing mm-hmm. things every week. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you're winning, because you want to keep winning on this scoreboard. So in a personal goal, having an accountability, you probably don't want to try to do this by yourself, because it is really easy to talk yourself out of your goals from personal mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's fine. I don't have to do it this week. I'll just do it next week. You never do it next week. Let's mm-hmm. be honest. Because the whole point of this is creating that cadence, the habit. You want to get into the rhythm of this is just something you do. Mm-hmm. It's still outside of your mm-hmm. whirlwind. And maybe when you complete the goal, it becomes a part of your whirlwind. So if you're creating a new exercise routine for yourself, mm-hmm. a new nutrition routine for yourself, by the time you get to the end of that goal, it's become part of just what you do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So in theory, that will just keep you going on this path of being healthier in that way. If I create this cadence of putting $1,000 away on a student loan every month, by the time I'm finished with that, maybe I'm putting $1,000 into my savings account every mm-hmm. month. Like, that would be amazing. And then you're building up a savings account. Mm-hmm. So, like, because life isn't static, right? So you get to the end of the goal, what you were doing has become a part of your whirlwind, and then something else can happen mm-hmm. and you can kind of move on to the next wig and do something else and make a different change. So that's kind of the whole point of this. So you definitely want somebody or a group to be accountable to. Maybe that's your husband. Maybe it's not your husband.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should talk about the pros and cons of your husband being your accountability partner. Yeah,
if that's going to take you to marriage counseling for that reason, maybe don't do that.
Or if
maybe
you're both so nice to each other that it's just about the same as having your own self for an accountability partner, that's a downside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you need someone who you trust to be very honest with you, nice mm-hmm. about it, but like that is actually going to keep you on track. Mm. Somebody that is willing to make you do the things that you said you were going to do. So if you're just nice people and have a hard time being kind of mean to each other in a nice way, then maybe not those people.
Yeah, or
maybe
it's okay, honey, you'll get it next week, week after week. Not helpful. Okay.
No. And maybe, I mean, if it's a goal that maybe a few of you share, you could have an accountability group, and that would be even better. Maybe that becomes one of your lead measures. Like, we're going to meet and do a thing every week together. And there you go. Like, you have your built-in accountability people. So like with personal goals, there's ways that you can, again, you can hack it so that it's fun. So you have relational time with people. Maybe it's like you go out for coffee, unless you're trying to save money. If saving money or not drinking coffee is not part of your goal, maybe it's some sort of, or you go for a walk at a museum every week and that's your check-in time. Like mm-hmm. building this mm-hmm. into your lifestyle in a way that is actually going to help you with that goal, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, this is not anything new. Anyone who's been involved in AA or Weight Watchers or, you know, anything like that will already know the power of having an accountability community.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, having it be part of this process is really, really cool.
Yeah. You need people to keep you honest, and doing it in a relational way is really, really going to help. I mean, on a variety of levels, because having relational time with people that with like friendships or your work team or whatever, like that's all good stuff. So, yeah. So each week you're making a new objective of what you're going to do for the next week. So the whole point of this is to take that big goal and to do it in little pieces. Mm. You want another tie-in from my current class. We're reading the book Switch, which is fantastic if you haven't read it. These little milestones along the way can be really, really motivational for a big goal. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, $20,000 is huge. But if I'm doing $1,000 a month, that's $500 a week. Sorry, $500 every 2 weeks, $250 a week. Like, that doesn't seem that bad, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's that the small little pebbles along the way that if you keep, if you just keep accomplishing those little pebbles, then you're going to get to that goal. And that can be really, really motivational to not, to be able to see the small bits. You're shrinking the change. Thank you, Heath Brothers from the Switch book. Sorry, I'm overlapping topics now, but it all ties together. So the point of this is to have this intentional way to create accountability so that you get to the end, because you want this to be a winnable game. That's kind of the whole point. You're picking something that is going to have significant impact and you want to be able to complete it. So it's winnable. It's also high stakes because it's something that if you don't do, like if you don't complete it, it's not going to be all that great for either your organization or your personal life or whatever. So you want it to be winnable, but also something that is really, really important. That's the four disciplines of execution.
Okay. I like it.
There you go.
I like it.
What do you think, Rachel?
I think if anything could work, this could work.
Hey.
I think like all big changey things, it will, like there's no... You can't give me enough acronyms that will make change easy.
Right.
Right. This will help along the way, but certain aspects of this, like, you know, acquiring the discipline to get down in the trenches and do those lead goal, what are they called?
Lead measures.
There's nothing about lead measures that will be easy.
Right.
This maybe makes it a little easier, but no, it's still hard. Finding accountability partners and then holding yourselves accountable, that is never going to be easy because it requires courage and vulnerability and, again, discipline, not just for yourself, but for other people. Being disciplined for other people is really hard. Mm. Like, it's still hard.
Right.
And yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to think through this in a really, I don't know, step-by-step way.
Yeah.
Like, breaks it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a useful way of thinking about goals, because ultimately these wildly important goals are things that really have the power to make a difference in your daily life, in your whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like how different is your whirlwind if you know, not just as Aaron says, the number on the scale going down, if you have more energy, greater physical strength, the ability to squat down and organize your Tupperware drawer without feeling like you're going to die. I mean, like, this affects your whirlwind.
Yeah.
How much does it affect your whirlwind to have $1,000 a month going not to student loans, but maybe someplace where it could actually do some good? Maybe going into your savings account, maybe going to your church. I mean, this is stuff to change the world. There's a reason they're wildly important. And I think that is perhaps the biggest game changer for me, is learning to identify what are the wildly important goals. What are the goals worth going to all this trouble for? And then can I actually keep my eye on that reality that this is going to change my life? This is going to change my family's life. This is going to change my church, my world. This is worth doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, change is hard. Like, there's no magic pill to make any of this easy. I think the point is to make it winnable and to make it achievable and mm-hmm. make it and to mm-hmm. lay it out in a way that your brain can be like, okay, it's gonna maybe not be fun, but I can actually do it. And right. the amount of character mm-hmm. building that happens with something like this too is just huge. Like being able to actually put yourself through a process like this and come out on the other end. I mean, that's huge just for character building. And then, right. then what else are you
yeah.
gonna do?
Yeah. Well, and if you do this once with something that truly is a big and wildly important goal, then you know you can.
Right.
And so you know it can be done.
Uh-huh.
And so then you can do it again.
Yeah.
With something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's some really impressive stories from organizations that I've heard from just from an organizational standpoint of implementing this and being really serious about it and the amount of organizational change that can happen when you're serious about identifying these things and actually working the process. I mean, it, mm-hmm. it does work if you mm-hmm. if you work the process, it does work. And I mean, mm-hmm. we know that with goal setting, if you have the discipline to work the process yeah. that you set out for yourself, you can actually change things.
Right.
It's just, finding that discipline is difficult. And so kind of finding the little ways to hack it for yourself, to yeah. find the ways that motivate, what motivates you. Because what motivates me is not going to be what motivates somebody else, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah. knowing yourself enough to know what motivates you and to know what you actually need to be successful in something like this is really important. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Weeding out those kind of sort of maybe wanna someday goals. And
yeah.
finding out what are the ones I'm actually willing to sacrifice for, and yep. then going yep. for it and measuring stuff yeah. regularly for in keeping yourself accountable and having other people keep you accountable, because this is important and this is worth doing.
Yep. Mm. So there you go.
Good stuff.
I hope this is helpful for y'all. And we'll put a link to the book in the show notes if you feel like reading the book. There are other resources online too. If you don't want to read the book, there's other things, other ways you can kind of find the process for what you can do and I like ideas for scoreboards and stuff. So we'll put that in the show notes.
I think the scoreboards. Do they involve markers and stickers, Sarah?
They can. There is nothing wrong with making yourself like an adult chore chart. Like that is totally fine.
It totally is. Except if you're already struggling with the whirlwind and like the thought of one more arts and craft project is just too much. But
yeah. So whatever works for you.
I have a rainy Saturday.
This is very subjective, and that's okay.
Yeah. Love that.
Ladies, I want to know if this is something that's helpful for you. If you have a goal that you think you might want to accomplish, you can share that with us in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, on Facebook or on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge.
What are your wildly important goals? Like,
yes.
I want to know.
I want to know. It's good mm-hmm. stuff. It's exciting stuff. This is supposed to be exciting and maybe yeah. a little dreadful, but mostly exciting. You can sign up for our e-newsletter. We'll send another one at some point.
Yeah, we will.
In the show notes for this episode, or you can send us an email, LutheranLadies@KFUO.org. You can find all of our podcasts at KFUO.org/LutheranLadiesLounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast is underwritten in part by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Learn more about their global ministry and how to support their projects at lhfmissions.org.